The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hello and welcome to the Health Hour on Informed Life Radio, brought to you by the Washington Chapter of Children's Health Defense. This is 1150 AM KKNW and streaming to you on CHD TV. I'm on the road right now, so I'm having a little bit of a technical hiccup. So hopefully all will go smoothly from here, but I might sound a little bit like I'm in a tin can, and I apologize for that. But you know, the show must go on. And I tell you, we've got one heck of a show today, two fabulous hours of radio because of the great guests we have coming on. So get a little business out of the way. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KKNW or CHDTV, and we are not bringing you medical or legal advice at all. Seek professional help for that. You just come and you tune in here so that you can get some information that you can take back out there and explore further, because it has never been more important to live an informed life. That's what this show is about. And to make good informed decisions, you got to explore information that you might not be getting mainstream or elsewhere, you know, so balance your world. And I do want to say that I drive a lot because I drive from where I live to my state capital, you know, and I go visit and I do all these other things. So I travel a lot and I flip the dial a lot. I go from one extreme to the other and everything in between. And I try to listen to the points of view of both sides of an issue and see where we have found common ground and then see where we diverge. And I think that is so important in order for us to bring dialogue back to this nation. You know, we've always had difference of opinion, and that's what makes a free nation great, is respecting difference of opinion. But somewhere along the line, we lost our ability to really communicate with those who really think or believe differently than us. So if we can find that common ground and then find our way forward together, that's what's going to heal this nation. So, you know, in the second hour, I just want to warm you up. During the Liberty Hour, we've got two great doctors with us, and they're going to be talking about that intersection between treatment protocols and politics, and we all experience that so much during COVID. This first hour, we've got an old dear friend of mine coming on. His name is Dr. Michael Brenneman, and he is from the great state of Washington, which is going to get back to its original roots of greatness here. And he's a chiropractor, and let's bring Dr. Michael on here. Hey, Michael, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you, Bernadette.
Yeah, it's been too long, my friend.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
What a journey has happened since you and I last spoke. And the last time we were on the show together, it was in studio. That was pretty cool. And so
I'm somewhere between a Luddite and a technophobe. So this is my very first Zoom or call of any type like this. So I'm glad to be here to help.
My goodness, I wonder how in the world that you managed through all of COVID not to have a Zoom meeting. I mean, you must get a badge for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a big part of my world, you know, and I don't love it, and yet how wonderful that I can continue doing this show even though I don't live in Washington anymore.
Thank you for your effort.
We're going to be talking today, Michael, about one of my favorite topics, and you and I have touched on it before, and this is very much a world you've worked in before. It's de-prescribing. So many people today are on multiple pharmaceutical drugs, and they believe, because their doctor has told them, you're going to have to take that drug for the rest of your life, right? Or they were told, well, maybe you can get off of it if you do, you know, and they say minimal things that really don't fundamentally change their health. But you and your practice over these many years, can we say how many years it has been?
I graduated Palmer College of Chiropractic in 1977, and I started practicing 1978. So I'm a veteran.
Yeah, you are a veteran at this, and it's so fantastic. So, and this is in chiropractic care. There's just so many areas that we could really touch on, but let's really begin with the main theme of this, of deprescribing, because I remember you telling me that years ago you would go to like retirement communities and you would do events. So talk to us about some of these events and what happened, because those are so fun.
Yes. When I was in chiropractic college, my grandfather passed away. And at that time I made a dedication to help other people's grandparents to have a better life. And I had a goal of speaking in this particular nearby retirement community when I returned to my home. And I offered several times to do so, and they always refused me. And I didn't realize that it was a retirement community for school teachers, doctors, ministers, a lot of white collar people, and they didn't embrace chiropractic in the least. And as the story went, I had a patient that came in, a very cheerful guy, always happy. He was sad this particular day. He was upset about something. And I asked him what it was, and he said, my speaker canceled today. And I said, what, where? He says, Warm Beach Manor. I said, wait right here. I went out and got my goal book from when I was in college, and I showed him goal, speak in Warm Beach Manor. He said, would you do that? I said, I certainly would. I was scared to death. I had never done anything like that before. So I went, and yes.
Well, I just want to ask you.
Sure.
You had a goal book as a young chiropractor, a young physician, and yes, it had to speak to this particular location. How did that come about?
It was near my home. At my graduation convocation, the speaker said, whatever you do, don't expect to go home and make it. And my contrarian nature, I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm sitting a very few minutes away from that very facility. So that's how it all got started.
That's awesome. Now, are you hearing me now? I'm trying to switch to earbuds to try to get better quality.
I'm still hearing you, yes.
Fantastic. Okay. So go on. So you had that on there because you knew you wanted to help seniors from your grandparents. I love the way the angels work, and they make opportunities happen.
Right on my same lunch hour, I took off and went there, and I really didn't have a great preparation, but I had a joke to start the thing off, and no one laughed. There's probably 100 people in the room. And I went, oh, I've heard about people dying on the stage, you know, just crashing and burning. And so I told another story, and everybody's arms were crossed and they were frowning. And I looked in the back of the room and I saw a banner, and it was ours is to serve or something like that. Hmm. And so I started off with that. That's what I wanted to do, was to serve. And so it kind of got a little bit of a icebreaker. And then a couple people smiled at me, and I started feeling better. I started talking and telling my story, and it turned out to be great. The people in the room, I asked them, how many people in this room are on medication? And there were a few that did not raise their hand, but the majority raised their hand. And I said, if you're on only one drug, put your hand down, and so forth, all the way until I think there was probably 6 or 7 people that still had their hand up. And then there was 3 women at the very end. They still had their hands up when we were even over 7 or 8 different pharmaceuticals. And so I made on the spur of the moment, I just made this thing. If you came into my office for 6 weeks and you spoke with your doctor about it. I'm not going to take you off any medications, but let's see if they can reassess your medications and we'll provide this care to you and get your nervous system to function better. And maybe you can have a better quality of life. Uh-huh. And sure enough, that's what happened. And within a few months, 3 days a week from that community, a little van came in with people that were from that community. And so it really got my practice started early in a good way.
And the people who visited you were able to then go to their doctor, get reassessed for the need for these medications, and then begin to deprescribe and get off.
Yes, they actually did. And I don't know that they were all the way off of all medications, but there were several of them, the pain pills that they were taking, the mood drugs, the things like that. All of a sudden, they didn't feel the need to have those. And so the quality of life, and then they would tell others, of course, that's how it works. Oh, yeah, I feel better without that. And so It wasn't me telling them to stop. It was me trying to get them to move over to eating better and thinking better and moving better and doing the things that you need to do to follow natural law. And so that was really what the root of it.
Yeah, you and I have talked in the past about the war against the natural law of healing and natural approaches to healing. And those like you, chiropractors, naturopaths, even, you know, acupuncturists, the war against that. And so the mindset, I know when I was growing up, you know, there was sort of like an underlying, you kind of felt like culturally people who went to chiropractors were kind of strange, you know, yes. But this was intentional. I had no idea when I was a kid, even, you know, my mom really believed in natural healing and all that, but I didn't realize that all this negativity around osteopaths or chiropractors was marketing messages put out there intended, you know, for people to not know. And it really wasn't until past 5 or 6 years that I understood that chiropractor is not about back pain.
No, it is not.
It's about your central nervous system and keeping your entire body working.
I make jokes with my patients, especially the new ones. I'll say, when people think of us, they think of bones and they think of some kind of pain, whether it's headaches, low back pain. And they'll always say yes, but I say what we really are is we're actually brain and nerve system specialists, and that's what we are focused on. Is when you tell me your symptoms, my mind sees the wiring diagram to all your organs and your muscles and your glands, and so I'll make this joke about your brain and nerve system only have one job, and then I'll pause and I'll be quiet. You can just see their wheels spinning. And they never answer. They never say a thing, but I know they're thinking, and I'll say, the answer is everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess there's probably a lot of analogies that would be helpful for people, but it's like, you know, you got a house and you go to flip on a switch and you get like, you know, short circuiting going on. And if you've got short circuiting in your central nervous system, well, you know, your TV, any electrical appliance is not going to work. And in fact, they might catastrophically fail if you do not fix the wiring.
Yes.
You can burn your house to the ground and you can like burn your whole immune system to the ground, your health to the ground, if you don't address your central wiring.
Almost every home has a dimmer switch in the dining room and that dimmer switch is called a rheostat. And the rheostat, when you turn that rheostat, it's causing a resistance to the energy. So the light bulb dims. Even if you took that bulb out and you put in a bigger bulb, you aren't going to have any more light because you have no energy to run that bulb intentionally. And so when the technical term for these bones out of place that we're always talking about is subluxation. Luxation is a dislocation. The subluxation in a chiropractic sense is about bones that are not fitting together properly, and they are interfering with the flow of this nerve energy from the brain to the body. So if you thought of someone touching you, you would know how much pressure. Was it hot? Was it cold? Was it sharp, dull? Your brain would process that all instantly. And it probably wouldn't even reflexly move. I touched you. It was no big deal. You saw that happen. But if I poked you with a pin, or something sharp, that same signal would go to your brain, but now your brain would be activated to respond, and it would send signals to your musculature, and your structure would move out of the way, out of danger and out of harm's way. If that signal was not getting there, that arm might not move out of the way, or the leg, or whatever part you were touching. The famous Superman, Christopher Reeve, famously got into an accident. He was riding horseback and he broke his neck and was paralyzed from the neck down because his body was shut off. His brain was shut off from his body. And then over time, his organs are what failed. And that's what ultimately caused his death, because there was no communication between the brain and the body cells.
Wow. Yeah, that was so tragic. What happened to Christopher Reeve? And then, nothing explains it more clearly than when you have the complete break and you see what happens. And then for what people find harder to understand, but we're really on this show trying to help people understand, is you can have minor interruptions or a lot of inflammation that is causing, you know, an imperfect flow of that energy to different areas. So let's say, I know you can not name names and everything, don't want you to do that, but like if you could give us like some examples that say somebody comes in and they're new to the holistic way and the chiropractic way of healing, and they might be on a couple of prescriptions. Can you give us an example of like how you would do an examination and then begin to determine what changes in their life, as well as what manipulations you may need? And that might not be the right word, because I know there's different technique. Yeah. So help us with that as well. So kind of take us from the top.
So typically we'll do imaging. I do some static imaging, which is the postural imaging. And then we do what we call flexion or extension, which is tipping your head back and forth. And my prime specialty is the cervical spine or the neck, which is where your brain stem comes into your body. So that is the prime, probably the most common subluxation is in the cervical spine. Most people that are coming into chiropractors are coming in with low back pain. They don't even realize their backs are so bad that they probably don't even realize that their neck is a problem. Mm. But so we'll explain that to them and try to show them nerve charts. These nerves go from, the reason that your hand is numb is because your disc is very thin at C4, C5. You have 7 of these cervical vertebrae. And if you looked at a person's hand, their thumb is on one nerve called the radial nerve. Their middle fingers are on the median nerve. Their little finger is on the ulnar nerve. So if somebody told me my little finger's numb, I know which nerve that was. I know it comes out in the lower part of the neck. I would go and show them, and that would be the area that I would adjust.
That is so cool. It's so like precise, isn't it? It's just knowing the wiring of the human body. That is cool. Yes. And you know where, like for your major organs, are there places along the spine that you know of, say if somebody's having kidney issues, where would that be?
So where your thoracic and lumbar spine join is the nerves that would go to your, everybody talks about the core. So you've got your iliopsoas muscle, or the people in the gym might call it the psoas or psoas. Mm-hmm. And that muscle is on a circuit that's also on the kidney nerve meridian. And so if you can conceive of a bone, two bones rotating, compressing neurology there, it's not a surprise that something might not work. You might have a muscle that isn't functioning properly, or you might have a contraction, or you might have a muscle that was too weak on one side and the other side. And let's go one step further. If you think about the bumps that are on the back of a spine, when you run your hand down someone's back, those are the spinous processes. If you think of those bones, one of those bones as the nose of a horse, and the muscles on each side are the reins, that's what's pulling your body back and forth to make you move properly. And so if you have an imbalance of that, you are not going to have the same range of motion. You're not going to have the same ease. You're not going to have the same quality of life or quality of nerve flow in those areas.
Mm-hmm. This is just so fascinating to me. I love Every time I talk to a chiropractor, I learn more. It's so exciting. And it, on the flip side, it's also infuriating to me how many people go with some sort of health issue to an allopathic doctor and they're prescribed a pharmaceutical, as if a pharmaceutical could possibly touch something having to do with alignment.
True, true. One of the worst things that patients are on are muscle relaxers. They have a spasm in one muscle or two or maybe three. They have maybe 700 plus muscles in the body. Mm-hmm. And they've got this one that's problematic. And so now we're going to give this pharmaceutical that's going to go to all of the musculature, including the heart, including the glands, including the colon. So all of a sudden now we don't understand why we are constipated, or so now we'll need another drug because we have to have a laxative, or we have to have something to encourage that elimination because now our colon might be semi-paralyzed. So it's a lot of times the problem is the medication. It isn't that the body is trying to fight and do its own thing. The chiropractors are famous for saying that the power that made the body heals the body. And that power, it's a faith thing. It's just it's a fact of life for us. I've never knowingly met an atheist chiropractor. Our whole belief system, and I probably have, but I didn't recognize it. Our whole belief system is based on this creator that made this magical, incredible body that had the innate ability to heal itself. You cut it, you beat it up, you don't feed it right, you don't get enough sleep, whatever it is, it's still going to try to heal you to the very last breath you're ever going to take. Uh-huh. It isn't going to say, you know, Bernadette, you should have took those supplements. You never did enough exercise. You cut yourself today. This is your last day. We're going to just let you bleed out because you didn't take care of us. It's not going to do that. It's going to try to heal you and put a scab there to the last breath you take. And that's something to have faith in.
Absolutely. And it is amazing how much abuse the human body can take, how bad we can eat and things we can expose to. And the body just wants to heal. Life wants to live. Yeah. I often think about like how mankind paves over nature, and you've got this big concrete slab. And then in about 10 years, you'll see a little crack and you'll see usually a dandelion come up.
Right.
And that's a whole other kind of theme and metaphor, because the dandelion is so medicinal. We're so busy wiping it out because we call it a weed, and we look at it as if it's ugly when it's not. It's a beautiful, healing, medicinal flower. But it refuses to give up. You know, there's the old book, you remember, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn?
Yes.
And so that the tree growing in, you know, Brooklyn in the early 1900s just gave such hope to a little girl living there in the midst of the city. Well, you know, a dandelion lives in the Walmart parking lot. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Is life wants to, and if you just take little steps to turn things around, and of course, the earlier you do it, the better.
Absolutely.
But you can empower yourself just with taking little step change, this and that and that, and all of a sudden, life that wants to thrive will thrive as long as it can. Yeah. You can push it too far.
Yeah. I often tell my patients a story about my first experience with chiropractic. My parents were very medically oriented. My mom worked in a nursing home. My grandma was a receptionist and a medical doctor. Her sister was married to a medical doctor. I don't remember ever hearing the word chiropractic even in our house. But a woman at work, I got a job when I was about 18 years old as a I was stocking freight in a grocery store, and I had a bad back and I had terrible headaches and problems. I had eczema. I had all these different indigestion and things like that. And I was on pain pills. I was on muscle relaxers. At 18, I was going to physical therapy 3 days a week. And this woman that kind of became Eva Porter was her name. She was a second mom to me of sorts. And she kept telling me, you need to go to my chiropractor. Oh, no, I'm not going to go to those quacks. I don't even know where I ever even picked up on that. But it
the
was
marketing is systemic.
Yes. Yeah. And So one day she found me on the break room table with frozen food on my back, and I was hurt. And she said, "I've had it. I'm tired of seeing you suffer." She walked over, and this is how long ago, she dialed the phone by memory to her chiropractor, Dr. Gaddis. And Dr. Gaddis took me that afternoon as a new patient. And he was a teacher, and he was a very passionate chiropractor. He just passed away. He practiced up into his 80s.
Aww.
And he took me under his wing a little bit more maybe than some, because I was showed a great deal of interest. And immediately I started getting benefit. The very first day I got an adjustment, I knew that was where I should have gone all this time. The medical thing was just covering up the symptoms and making it feel a little better. Uh-huh. And when I got home, I told my mom, and I was so excited. I'm even getting goosebumps telling you this right now. I was so excited because I had hope now that I can actually recover. And she said, "Your dad's going to be so mad." I said, "How could he be mad? How could he possibly be mad? I found someone to help me." She said, "He doesn't believe in it." And I said, "Well, I'll explain it to him." What was I going to do? But he came home. We got into a big argument. He said to me, "Who's going to change your diaper when they paralyze you for life? It's not going to be me." And it didn't help that I laughed, because it had been so gentle. I felt like I should have been beat up or something, but it was so specific and so artful what he had done to me, that I walked out of there. I felt like I was floating a little bit. I felt like I could see better. My headache went away. It was just an amazing thing. So I didn't care what my dad thought about it or what his beliefs were. I was already sold. And I told him, "I'm going back tomorrow." And he goes, "Not while you're living in my house."
Michael.
And so it's a true story. That was my last day at home. And a few months go by, and Dr. Gaddis asked me, what did you have for breakfast this morning?" And I didn't hesitate. I told him, I said, "I had a Mountain Dew and two glazed cruller donuts."
Oh, dear.
And just like that, no big deal. And he went, "Oh, you're a fill the hole eater." "What is that?" He goes, "You get hungry, you fill the hole." And I go, "I guess so." And then the profound thing that he said to me, I can't give you the exact words, but it was something to this effect, that the art and act of eating was about bringing Mother Nature back inside your body so that your body could heal itself at the cellular level and recreate itself. And that was so heavy that I was dumbfounded, and it changed me that day. It actually changed my life. I started making my own yogurt. I started making sprouts. We didn't talk about organic food, but we started going to the produce aisle instead of the Hostess Ho-Ho aisle, and the Twinkie aisle, and all the dead things that I had been eating, wondering why I can't get my health back, because I had no nutrition. And so I started eating better, started feeling better. My nerve system started functioning. And then I was considered a missionary. My parents thought I had been absorbed into a cult, because that's all I could talk about. And I told all my friends, "You need to go see Dr. Gaddis. You got this problem. He can help you." I just knew he could. And so my sister started going. My mom used to go to the hospital once or twice every year with her back. And she would be in traction for a week. She'd come home, lay on the couch for another couple weeks, and then go about her business. And she never, once she started under chiropractic care, she never, ever went back to the hospital.
So she eventually listened to you.
She did.
Did you ever get an apology from your mom or dad?
My mom right away. It was many 30, probably 25 or 30 years later before my dad fell off of a 20-foot ladder and ended up calling me all the time. "What should I take? What should I take? What should I take?" Mm-hmm. And I would always tell him the same thing. "Take your butt and get down to the chiropractor." "Don't call me anymore. You know what I'm going to say." And
yeah.
So finally he did. He went to my good close friend, Dr. Van Quathlem in Olympia. He drove an hour one way just to get there. And he went like three times a week for a month, a couple times a week for a month. And when I came home for Christmas, My dad was doing karate kicks and Irish jigs, and he finally had to apologize to me because he had been so brainwashed himself as to, he didn't know anything about it. He just didn't know.
No.
And it's not an accident because the medical profession was trained. Mm-hmm. If you asked your medical doctor when I was a young man, a young kid, about going there, he would say, yeah, if you want to have stroke, paralysis, or death.
Right.
And that's what they were trained to say. And they could not refer. They were forbidden to refer to chiropractors as part of the containment. We could go into that a little bit too. The medical profession ultimately tried to contain and eliminate the chiropractic profession because we were going to take, they estimated 3-5% of all the healthcare dollars. Uh-huh. And they, that was what we were. We were competition.
Right. And what you described happened many, many decades before COVID, but it's the same playbook. Don't take hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or vitamin C or zinc. You know, threaten doctors. All of this, you know, it's so funny. Those screaming misinformation are the ones spreading misinformation.
Absolutely.
And it's the same playbook, the same attack on real healing methods because it undermines their profits.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of, I'm so proud to know you, Michael. I mean, this
I'm
is
so my proud to know you.
Everybody needs to know Cascadia Chiropractic up in Marysville, Mount
yes.
Vernon.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a great admiration for you. Do you recall our first meeting by any chance?
Was it in Olympia at the Capitol?
It probably was in a meeting of our Department of Health in Seattle.
Could have been, yeah.
And you spoke there very eloquently and very, I was so proud of you. And I think I think I complimented you after it was over. There was supposed to be no public comment, but we mouthed off, I think.
good for us. And I'm still doing that. I'm still mouthing off and giving public comment. And I've got an individual here, in Tennessee at the state legislature that, you know, let's just say that when you fact check an MD who's also an elected representative, they're not very happy with you. But, you know, if you're going to get up and you're going to pass bad legislation and people are looking at you as a trusted individual because you've got an MD after your name, you got to expect to be fact checked. If you got it wrong, you got it wrong. But yeah, I'm still standing up and speaking out and, you know, just trying for the, you know, the silver lining of COVID is more and more people realize that so much noise out there is marketing and what they thought they knew about all sorts of approaches to health and healing is completely wrong.
Recently, a lot of good is going to come from this because people are going to second think. They're going to have a second thought now where they were just going along and following the rules. And all of a sudden, people are going to have to stop and think for themselves, make their own decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Their greed went so far that everything became visible. And no liability. Oh, it's been very concerning. But let's go back to our topic of deprescribing. Okay. So what you said that it was muscle relaxants that you think are one of the worst things. Is that one of your most common people come to you on that drug?
Especially if they've recently been to the medical doctor and now they've come to me. Mm-hmm. They're almost all the time. They're taking some type of a muscle relaxer. Number one, they can't hold an adjustment once you start to give them these adjustments if their muscles are not functioning. It's very, very, very difficult to work on that person. So, and most of them have already given up. They're starting to say, nah, it didn't work anyway. And now they're eating these 6 or 10 ibuprofens or they're eating the naproxen or they're, you know, all of a sudden they're taking these other things that are harming their organs and quite frankly, it's made for one day thing. It's not made for a steady diet year after year after year after year.
So that must be really challenging that when they do have that pain and they're still taking the medicines that are interfering with your work, just the patience to get to the point where you've done enough healing and they've done enough withdrawing, then do you get a point where things just kind of begin to snowball toward health, toward recovery?
Very commonly, we'll start to move them toward more natural remedies. Famously, white willow is what aspirin is an artificial of. So the aspirin is acetylsalicylic acid. In the plant, it's salicin. And salicin is very neutral or probably alkaline.
Okay.
So it's less harmful to the body. I wouldn't want a steady diet of it, but it's very effective. So it's something that they can do. They're still kind of stuck back in the model of taking the pill or cutting the bad part out. It's something very common that if you work with a lot of people like I have, over 20,000 people in my career, you're going to see a lot of characters, a lot of personalities, a lot of people that they aren't even themselves. They're in such pain. So many times, an early staff member came crying to my adjustment room one day, and she said, I have to quit. I said, how come? She said, John was mean to me and I can't take it. I said, John's one of the nicest guys in our practice. She goes, he yelled at me. I said, John's in pain today. You just got to realize he's not himself. And a few days later, she came to me again. And I went, is John here? I'll talk to him personally. And she said, did you put him up to that? And I said, what? And she said, he brought me flowers and a box of candy.
Aww.
And I said, I told you, John was just in his pain body. And so from then on, when somebody would come in, they're giving her a hard time. She said, you need to go get an adjustment and come back and talk to me. You'll feel better. So it's kind of a treasure.
It's so important. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us that so many people are walking around, and so many young people, like you are so young. It impacts everything you do, your patience, your everything that you do. If you've got this underlying pain, fatigue, just discomfort in your body. Anxiety, so many people with anxiety and stress. You know, years ago, this isn't a chiropractic story, but years ago when I was working up, my husband and I first married, we lived on Orcas Island, and I worked at the bank. And a woman came in to the bank up to my window, and she was so mean to me that I had to close my window when I was done and go in the back room and cry.
Yes.
And I was respectful to her and kind to her. I didn't, yell back, And a couple of days later, she came in the bank again, and she came up to the window to apologize to me. She says, I'm going around the island today and apologizing to everybody that I was mean to, because she had just lost her husband and was in grief and shock. And I was so glad that I didn't, respond the way I felt like I wanted to. I need to hold it in. I work for this place. I can't say that.
Yes.
And I was young. I mean, we were just newly married. I was 20, 21. But I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that when somebody is being really mean to me in some way, it's not about me. It's about wherever they are in life and whatever they're in this moment experiencing. I mean, sometimes I do make people mad. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I think that's so important to know. And gosh, if we could get people feeling better, how much nicer we'd all be toward each other.
Yes. Yes. Even when you were mean to them, you weren't maliciously doing it. It's something that probably struck them wrong or offended their sensibilities.
Although probably the legislator who's the doctor probably thinks that a fact check was mean.
Oh,
but you're deciding policy. I'm sorry.
Yes,
got to do it. So let me ask you a couple of things. One area that causes a lot of pain, and a lot of people today are having hip replacement and knee replacement. And there's a lot of different issues going on that cause that. Talk to us a little bit about what you've seen and what success, because a lot of people with it's constant pain when it's in your hip and knee. So there's a lot of painkillers involved here, a lot of anti-inflammatories. What have you seen there and what kind of success have you seen?
the medical profession has become very artful at doing those types of surgeries with great success. So I'm not a big critic of the knee replacement. I'm not a big critic of using those pharmaceuticals when they're needed. It's the steady diet, the lifetime things that are the problem for me. So the orthopedic things, if you can't see, for an example, and you get an eye surgery and you can see, that's phenomenal. That's fantastic. That's good medicine. But a lot of what they're doing, quite frankly, is poisoning people with too many drugs. And it's just a sad, sad thing that we are 43rd in the developed so-called civilized nations. We're the 43rd for longevity. Japan, Monaco, there's probably a dozen countries that live 10 years longer than we do. And we spend more money here on healthcare than all of those other countries put together. And that is a critical and sad statistic. So when you look at other places around the world, I recently watched the 100-year lifestyle. It's about the blue zones around the world. And it'd be good
Tell people what the blue zones are.
So the blue zones got their name. A gentleman was studying where people live to extraordinary centenarians, 100-year-old people. And he found little pockets of these people in, say, in Okinawa, in Japan, in Italy, in Puerto Rico, Costa Rica. And he started studying them. And on this map, he would stick these blue stick pins. And so that's how the moniker for the blue zones, they were actually those little stick pins.
Okay. And
so there's things that they're doing in those areas. Oh, Loma Linda, California is the only place in America, by the way,
that is Loma Linda, California. What's unique about Loma Linda?
Seventh-day Adventists.
Oh, okay.
Healthy lifestyle, healthy movement, faith, tribe, family, traditional values, and they hold dear to them. They're very active. You might find 90-year-old people out playing pickleball instead of rolling around in a wheelchair. So those blue zones are phenomenal. And I would tell a story on myself on that when I was watching it. It was in my recollection, it was daybreak and there's this guy, he's an old guy and he climbs up on this horse and the narrator is saying he has a purpose in life. He's taking care of his father's herd and his grandfather's herd and his great grandfather's herd. And as he rode off into the sunrise, I said, man, that makes my back hurt just watching him. And then the sun's up and you see him. He's 103 years old and he's out there doing that.
Wow. So it
made my brain go, you know, maybe I'm programming myself wrong, that I'm going to be an old cripple or that I can't do that. I'm facing my 72nd birthday soon. And so I'm doing more golf and more gardening and more yard work and having more fun than I've had in quite a while.
Oh, that is so fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. So can people who have had hip replacement, knee replacement, or a lot of people have had spinal fusion. Actually, my husband had cervical in his neck because he it was about to cut off his spinal cord. He had an injury at work. Can they have chiropractic care when you've had things like that?
Yes. When you have those problems, I think you need chiropractic care even more than other people, because other areas of your spine are now changed.
Okay.
I have some rare earth magnets. They're round. I have seven of them, and I'll hold those magnets up hanging down. If you thought of a brand new chain with 24 links, and if you moved your hand back and forth, you'd see a waviness, a snake-like movement of that chain. If you weld a couple of those links together in various places on that chain, everything changes. It will not have the wave. And so the other areas of the spine, most of your people maybe have heard this phrase, the craniosacral or sacral cranial. Well, the sacrocranial is, it's actually the pump that pumps the cerebrospinal fluid through the ventricles of your brain, which is what filters it. And so if your cranium, your head is not moving on your neck properly, or your sacrum is not moving properly, that pump does not work. So it's a anti-gravity thing. As you move, as you breathe, that movement of your spine is pumping that fluid through your brain, and then gravity is pulling it down. And so it's a closed cycle of fluid. And that fluid is filtered to keep it clean. And if it backs up, you're going to have symptoms of, you might have a headache, you might have sinus problems, you might have depression. There's about a dozen symptoms that probably people could identify with. Oh my gosh, I've got all of those things. Loss of memory and concentration, you know, fatigue, chronic fatigue. All of a sudden they start getting chiropractic care. That pump starts to function again. The filtration starts to happen. Their energy comes back. They can think better. They can be more personable. They can have a better quality of life.
It's so exciting, isn't it? That healing can happen with that. And, you know, we have other chiropractors that we bring on the show, and it's so important to find a good chiropractor. So I would love you to give your advice on what sort of questions should somebody look when they're shopping for a good chiropractor?
That is a very good question. In my profession, there's literally two professions, and there's a big division in naturopathy, for an example. Mm-hmm. Some of the naturopaths are old school, we would call them, and they are very much like we are in our thinking. But in Washington State, for an example, in 2017, the naturopathic group accepted the CDC vaccine schedule.
Yes,
because they can make more revenue.
And during COVID,
provide all these vaccines. Yeah. And yeah. So it was a financially motivated decision. Mm-hmm. But the naturopaths, it was an abomination to many of them, the traditional. So in my profession, I've recently been called a dinosaur because I didn't have COVID vaccine. I didn't have the booster. I didn't wear a mask. The guy said, I'm the kind of guy that's holding the profession back. And it's guys like me that, there wouldn't be a profession if it wasn't for guys like me for 50 years and 100 years. Mm-hmm. People have been fighting against discrimination. We've been, you don't hear chiropractors asking for reparations. We're just out there. We've been financially harmed. We've been maligned. I used to introduce myself. My father told me when I first got in practice that even though he didn't believe in what I was doing, he respected that I had graduated from college and so forth. And he was a businessman. He said, you need to go to the Greasy Spoon in the morning and schmooze. You need to go and introduce yourself and talk to people. And so I would do that. And I would always introduce myself. I'm Dr. Brenneman. My name is Mike. I wanted to be personable. I didn't want to be this stuffy, stuffed shirt doctor. And they would always ask me, what kind of doctor are you? And I'd say, I'm a chiropractor. And invariably, they would say,
right.
So I realized that was going to happen. And I started saying, when they'd ask, I'd say, I'm an O doctor. And they would go, what kind of doctor is that? And I said, I'm a chiropractor. And then they'd go, they would have to laugh and realize I had a personality and a sense of humor. And that would kind of break the ice.
Cool. Yeah, I tell you, we're in such a marketing war, you know, so much of what we're doing in every avenue of life, where the all these wonderful things that nature has provided us, and the, you know, and all, just other avenues of care, massive marketing departments, some of them embedded at the CDC, right? There's like two of them embedded. Oh my goodness, I can't believe we just got 3 minutes left. We got the 3 minute warning. I'm going to show the website here for your office up in Marysville, Washington. Cascadia Chiropractic and Massage. And you know, so if you're up in that neck of the woods and you're shopping for a good chiropractor, put Cascadia Chiropractic on your list to interview. I very much believe that, you know, when you go looking, shopping for a doctor of any sort, it's as important as shopping for a spouse. And, you know, you really need to ask the right questions and find that good marriage, so that, you know, it's an important relationship.
My
that
son
you're
and I
building up?
practice together, by the way. My son has been in practice with me for 10 years. We have six people in our family that have gone to Palmer College of Chiropractic. And so as some families, they become military people, or they'll all become dentists or doctors, or in our family, it's a chiropractic bent.
I love that. I love that. It does seem to go in families. And it's too bad Bob wasn't able to pop in here, but I believe you've met now Bob Reynolds of Informed
Yes.
Choice Washington and the CHD chapter. I mean, the Washington chapter of Children's Health Defense.
Yes.
He's from a chiropractic family.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his grandfather, his father. I don't know if I missed a generation, but yeah.
Trivia, Elon Musk's grandmother was the first chiropractor in Canada.
Oh my goodness. That is so cool. I love that. We need to get some people at high up in our government who really understand this. And wouldn't that be nice? How come the NIH doesn't have like the whole chiropractic division? I would love it if we would like be able to have you get your NIH person going up to the podium, but then they have to have the equivalent, the naturopath, the chiropractor going to the podium and say, okay, here's what we think you should do.
Good
and why
point.
Not have both views presented? So we're down to the last minute. Michael, people want to know more about you. Do you blog? Do you do anything? Or should they just come visit you up in Marysville?
I don't have a blog. I'm in my office. I still work 3 days a week. 47 years of doing it. I had a bad back to start with, so I've been pushing this body pretty good for a long time. And
yes.
I'm a walking miracle, I think, at times.
You are, and you're a blessing to all of us. I'm so glad we reconnected.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's Dr. Michael Brenneman, and you've been listening to The Health Hour on Informed Life Radio on 1150 AM KKNW and CHD-TV. We're going to take a break, and stay tuned. When you come back, we got Dr. Jason Kinley and Dr. Scott Jensen. Come on back.
Thank you for that.
During this unprecedented response to an infection outbreak, it has been made very clear that shutting down lives and businesses is not sustainable or repeatable. We've also learned that it's unnecessary. Treatments exist and always exist. For 99% of the population, nutrients and oxidative therapies that support the immune system and improve symptoms are always available to address viral infections. For the less than 1% who need more, inexpensive, unpatentable drugs can be added to the nutrient therapies to improve outcomes. It's time each and every one of us empower ourselves with this knowledge. We need not ever bring our lives to a halt again. We can both save lives and retain the liberty that nourishes us body and soul. Learn more at healthyimmunitynow.org. That's healthyimmunitynow.org.
Children's Health Defense is a nonprofit organization with a mission to end childhood health epidemics by working aggressively to eliminate harmful exposures, hold those responsible accountable, and establish safeguards to prevent future harm. The Washington chapter of Children's Health Defense is stepping up at the state and local levels, but we can't do this without you. Join us at wa.childrenshealthdefense.org. Let's restore and defend children's health and their futures in Washington State.
The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.